Good morning, boys. Okay. Well, let's pray first. Can anybody think of somebody that we should be praying for?
Chris Eric.
Okay.
Joe Lopez.
Okay. Lord, we just praise you and thank you this morning. And Father, we just pray that your will be done. We just ask that your kingdom would come. We just pray for the brethren around the world. God, we pray for Brian and Olin. Pray for Brother David, the brethren in Mexico and Colombia and wherever else, Lord, pray for Joe Lopez, pray for Chris Eyrick, God, we pray for those that have been separated from us, Lord, we just pray that your will be done, Lord, we pray that you just lead us all in your way, God, and we're all just trying to find our way here, and we just pray that you lead us, protect us, God, and help us to walk in love. Just may your will be done today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we've got Psalm 43 in the Septuagint. In the Masoretic text, it's Psalm 44. Okay, here it goes. O God, we heard with our ears. Our fathers proclaimed it to us. The work you performed in their days of old. Your hand utterly destroyed the nations. You planted them, you afflicted and cast out peoples. Or you utterly destroyed the nations, then you planted Israel, I believe is what he's talking about. And you afflicted and cast out peoples. And we've just been reading in Joshua where God just enabled the Israelites to just destroy these people that were there, these other nations. You know, we didn't really know why, you know, at that time, that's the way that God chose to deal with those particular nations, those people, those kingdoms. He judged them and condemned them and had them destroyed. Kind of like the flood, you know, there was a time when God made a judgment and destroyed men who had chosen wickedness. Now, you know, we live in a sort of a different time where Jesus has told us not to take vengeance on the wicked, to not fight with people that are battles not against flesh and blood, that we're supposed to return evil with good. And so it's sort of a different time. But judgment will be coming for those who choose to not follow God, but to choose their own way. And but right now we're just sort of in a time where God says, vengeance is mine. But there was a time in the past where God took care of the enemies of his people. God took care of them. That's what they're talking about here in the beginning. He says, your people, the Israelites, he said, they did not inherit the land with their sword. You know, they did use their swords. But they're saying, that's not how you won. It wasn't by your sword. He says, and your people's arm, it did not save them. He says, but God, it was your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because you took pleasure in them. You yourself, he was just saying that God fought their battle for them. God was actually the one who enabled them to conquer. Because I think there was a time when someone had stolen, they had conquered, I think, Jericho, I think it was, and somebody had stolen some of the gold and held it back and hid it and for himself. And then they went to their next battle, and they couldn't win. They lost, I think a lot were killed that day, and they didn't know why. Joshua didn't know why. And come to find out, it was that sin that if God was not there helping them to win, they couldn't win. And so, anyway, that's a... They won, but it was God who enabled them to win. And I guess that's something that we need to kind of be thinking about, remembering that we just need to be on God's side. Or else, you know, we're on the losing side. So that's our goal, is to be on God's side. Find out what God wants us to do and to do it. He says, he's talking to God. He says, God, you yourself are my king and God, who commands salvation for Jacob. In you we shall push back our enemies, and in your name we shall scorn those who rise up against us. For I will not hope in my bow, and my sword, it will not save me. For you saved us from those who afflict us, and you disgrace those who hate us. We shall praise God all day long, and we shall give thanks to your name forever. Okay, he says, but now, so that's one part. He's saying, God, we're just going to put our trust in you. And then this next part, he starts to say kind of what they're going through at that time. And he says, but now, you rejected and disgraced us, and you will not go out with our armies. You turned us back from our enemies, and those who hate us took spoil for themselves. You gave us as sheep to be eaten, and you scattered us among the nations. You bound your people with honor, and there was no, or you bound your people without honor, and there was no abundance given to ransom them. You made us a reproach to our neighbors and a scorn and derision to those around us. You made us a byword among the nations and a shaking of the head among the peoples. All day long my disgrace is before me, and the shame of my face covers me, because of the voice of him who reviles and chatters, because of the face of the enemy and persecutor. All these things came upon us, but we have not forgotten you, and we did not act unjustly with your covenant. Our heart did not draw back, yet you turned our steps from your way. You humbled us in a place of affliction, and the shadow of death covered us. If we forget the name of our God and spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. For your sake, God, we are put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, and do not reject us to the end. Why do you turn away your face and forget our poverty and our affliction? For our soul was humbled to the dust, and our belly was joined to the ground. Arise, O Lord, help us, and redeem us for your name's sake. And so, I'm not exactly sure what they were going through when they wrote that, but they were having a hard time, and it just felt like God had left them, it seems like, but they're just crying out to God. You know, they said in this first part that God, it's you who will save us. And so now they're crying out to God, asking for help. They're not understanding why it's happening, but they're asking for help. And they're saying, Lord, help us and redeem us for your name's sake. Okay. All right. So we need to trust the Lord and just to be seeking His mercy and His grace and His guidance, and just seeking God. Okay. Well, why don't we get ready and just say what we were planning on saying today, Roger. If you could be the first, go ahead.
This week, I was supposed to sweep around our table, and I swept another room, too. This week, I did my chores and helped Roger with his. This week, I sweeped a room, and then I cleaned up another room.
This week I was supposed to clean my room, and then when I was done, I cleaned the bathroom, then helped Jaden shovel gravel.
When I was told to shovel gravel, I was willing to do more than I needed to.
This week I tried to just do more than I had to, and just go the second mile.
This week I did my chores without being told.
Okay. I was thinking that for your assignment this week, if you can make it a point to show love to somebody who doesn't deserve it. Okay? And I want you to let your dads know when you've done that this week. Okay? And talk about that with your dads. But show love to someone who doesn't deserve it. Okay? Or that you don't feel deserves it. Does that make sense? Okay, you can go to your seats.
Young men.
We were supposed to have something about what someone did in history about going the second mile. And I thought about the the Good Samaritan who took care of that young man that got beaten on the road. And then he went and paid the innkeeper and said, if there's any more that you need, just call me and I'll get more.
I thought about when David was supposed to kill 100 of the Philistines to get his wife from Saul. In the Masoretic it says that he killed 200 instead. I just need to work at go on the second mile and we get home from some places to clean out the cars.
I thought about the story in the book Coals of Fire. Peter, what his last name was, in Emmenthal, Switzerland, who had the ruffians or whoever they were tear his thatch off his roof, and he just had his wife make a meal for him and invited him down into his house and said, you've been working hard, come down and eat, and came down into his house and just felt so bad they couldn't even eat, and went back outside and threw his back on for him. But, you know, he could, 1 mile might have been just not getting upset and just not saying anything to him, you know, but going the second mile, he offered them a meal. So.
I read a story once about a Roman soldier, and the law was that if he saw any Jewish person, that he could command him to carry his pack a mile. And the Roman soldier saw this boy, and he said, "Carry my pack," and he carried it. And first he was angry and mad, didn't want to do it, and then he thought of Jesus' words, love your enemies, pray for them that persecute you. And he carried the mile, and at the end of the mile, he wasn't mad, and he offered to carry his pack second mile, and during the second mile, he made friends with the Roman soldier.
I thought of the Good Samaritan, but then I had to come up with another one. So I read a story here a week or two ago about this Mennonite family. I can't remember all the details, so I wasn't going to say it. But the man set fire to the brush around, they'd been clearing their land, and so he set fire to the brush, and he worked for him, and he knew him, but he was going to steal it, and he knew where they kept their money, so he set fire on the brush so they would all go and look and put out the fire. And then when they all left, he thought they all left, so he crawled in the window. Well, while he was doing that, one of the boys walked in the room because he hadn't been outside yet, and caught him and just held the window down on him until his dad got back around, and then it was about 30 minutes or something. And so dad just came in there and just started talking to him, and he just let him go and just said, "Well, come on, supper is ready." And so they sat down and ate supper, and then he went in there and got the bag of money that the boy was going to steal and gave it to him and said, "When you use this and can repay it, give it to somebody else. Don't bring it back."
I thought about Abraham and Lot when their herdsmen weren't getting along. So, you know, Abraham could have just moved and took his flock and everything, just moved and left Lot alone. But he went the second mile and offered Lot a choice where he wanted to move to make things right with him.
Mine was about where Isaac's, in the Bible, Isaac's servants dug a well, and the herdsmen from around there took it from them, and they dug another one, and they took that one. And then finally they were able to keep the third one. And he could have just kept the wells because they were rightfully his, but instead he dug some more.
I thought of David when he thought all of Saul's family was dead, and then he learned that Jonathan's son was still alive. He gave him all his grandfather and father's land, and had him come and eat at the king's table and live at the king's house, and even though Saul was tried to kill him multiple times.
I was thinking this week about just how there's a lot of great men in the past that have went the second mile, so to speak, for things that they loved, like science, and how that so few go the second mile for God. I was just thinking, comparing that to men that live for themselves or live for something they think is a great cause. But anyway, it's just kind of an interesting thought.
I just thought of one of my wood customers. He always goes the second mile and pays me extra.
Jonathan just went the extra mile to keep his David safe. Just helped him to stay safe, and Saul just went the extra mile to help him.
I was going to say that for the boys, that also find a verse in the Bible or someone in the Bible that showed love to someone who didn't deserve it, and that the young men do the same, that they look for an opportunity this week to show love and kindness or something, show love to someone who doesn't deserve it, or has wronged them or something, and maybe to think about maybe somebody in history or some person that you know of that's returned love for evil,
or an example from the Bible.